Hi, my name is Marty Livingston, and I meet with the Brethren of the Fairview Congregation in Oxford, Alabama. I appreciate this opportunity to speak on the subject of the divorced single Christian and the far country because I have a story to tell that I feel will be beneficial to those who are in my situation and even to those who are not, and that it may help you to understand. Today I am a single man in a secular sense, and I will address myself in this manner, but I still consider myself to be one in the eyes of God with my departed wife. I believe with all my heart that God now requires that I remain unmarried or in a single state, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 11. What I want to talk about today is being single due to a divorce or the departure of a spouse and the far country, and not about the issue of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What happened to me that 28th day of April 1988 happens today to one out of every two marriages. Therefore, we feel there is an urgent need for teaching on the subject of being single due to a departure of your spouse or due to a divorce, and the things that the far country or the world offers those involved. We teach that the divorce must remain unmarried. However, I'm afraid that we fail to teach them about the life that follows. And it's the life that follows that usually causes people to go astray. I believe that there is a need for teaching on this subject because so many people are walking into the life of singularity in total ignorance. And most often what people have been taught about their present situation is less than truth. If you are single due to the departure of your spouse, then I hope you will listen as we discover the truth about what can happen to people in our situation that causes them to leave the Father. Before we begin, I want you to know that there is not a thing in this world wrong with being single. In fact, there are many advantages to being single. There is a blessing in being single. The Bible teaches us that Paul was a single man. In fact, Paul wrote, "I would that all men were even as I myself," 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 7. The reason for this is stated in verse 34, where Paul discusses the unmarried woman. The Bible says the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world. Certainly we can see the tremendous blessing of the single life, and that reason being that we can devote our time and energies to the Lord and not be concerned and burdened by the needs of a spouse and family. But many people have taken their present state, which the Bible teaches is a wonderful state of being, and they have become involved in unrighteous practices and placed themselves in almost hopeless situations by remarrying, which can hardly be reversed without much pain and sorrow. Today I want to open up God's Word to a parable which was told by our Lord and use this parable to show what can happen to a person who is single and striving to remain unmarried. I want to look closely at the parable of the prodigal son and examine closely his decline and relate what the Bible says about this boy in our own 20th century terms and conditions. I truly believe that what happened to the prodigal is basically what happens to many boys and girls, men and women, and mothers and fathers who are single, especially to those who are single due to a divorce. The story may not always be the same, but the cause of the fall is. I've heard many good lessons and read very interesting literature in regard to this parable. I owe a great deal of thanks to the many who have taught me the truth about this parable. It's a very true-to-life parable that will hit home with every person who reads it because it is the most human story ever told by our Lord. I really believe that this story will help to illustrate our topic this month. Luke 15, verses 11 through 20 reads, "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." We'll stop here, but some of the things I will refer to are found in the second half of this parable. I want you to notice first the departure of the prodigal son. He's like so many people today who leave their family or their spouse to pursue the single's life. He is like so many men and women who have been left alone by a departure of a spouse or a divorce. He is absolutely sure that there is something better away from his father's house, or away from his wife and children, and so he prepares to leave for the far country. How often do men and women today who are made single by a divorce and who are members of the church, and I mean faithful members, how often do they look out into the far country and they begin to dream and have illusions of being in the far country, living the single's life? They believe they have found something better. It happens often, and it must have happened to the prodigal son. I want you to understand that the term prodigal means, among several things, recklessly extravagant. It refers to someone who has spent his substance on wasteful extravagance. Many times we watch as divorced men and women chase after an illusion or a deception that they see in the far country, and they waste everything they have worked for. And I'm not just talking about material goods. I'm also referring to our virtue, our character, our social and spiritual status, and we sell out to the devil in pursuit of what we think is the real thing in the far country. I want you to notice that after the boy received the goods from his father, that he waited a few days before leaving for the far country. The Bible says in verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." Notice, "and not many days after." What in the world was this boy doing in those few days before his departure? If he was like many people today, then we know exactly what he was doing. He had all of his friends over, and as he gathered his goods together, he began to tell them about how when he arrived in the far country, away from all the religious rules he had been taught, away from his father's authority, that it was going to be party time. As single men and women who are single because of the departure of our spouse, this can happen to us. Our husband is gone. Our wife is nowhere to be found. All we do is go to church 3 times a week, read the Bible, visit the sick, and give all of our money to the Lord. We are all alone, no companion to talk to. The most exciting thing in our life is when we see a fight in a hockey game on ESPN. We wake up in the morning, go to work, go to church, eat supper, take a bath, and go to bed. What a life. But when we go to work, we hear all of our friends talk about what they did the past weekend in the far country. Wine, women, dancing, and song. We hear others who are divorced talk about Friday Night Live Singles, where men and women who are single and divorced get together for fellowship. With this on our mind, we go home that night and we turn on the television to channel 21 of the far country, and of all things, there is a program called The Christian Dating Connection. The participants begin to talk about how sad and lonely they were after their first marriage ended. Next, they tell of what kind of man they were looking for and how they found him on the Christian Dating Connection. And they begin to tell how wonderful it was and how that before they met this person, all they did was wake up, take a shower, go to work, go to church, eat supper, and then go to bed. It sounds like they are quoting from our biography. But now their life is more exciting than ever before. Then we begin to look out into the far country. And thoughts of leaving the Father begin to occupy our minds. We get together with our friends and we begin to tell them about our dull and empty lifestyle. And they begin to tell us about life in the far country. And it all sounds so exciting. And we begin to dream of being in the far country. And we have an illusion of how much happier we would be if we were there. We begin to do the same things the prodigal probably done prior to his departure. And our downfall begins. Young people, old people, those of you who are single Christians, and especially those of you who are divorced and fighting the battle to remain unmarried, I want you to hear this. I want you to know that the thoughts of the young, old, single, and married go prodigal before that person does, because sin first begins with a thought. Maybe it's a fascination that takes a form and then becomes a fact. Your husband or wife has left you and you dwell on the thought of someday having another spouse. You dwell on how unhappy you are and how dull your life is, and self-pity begins to fill your soul. You begin looking for a way to obtain a spouse, and the thought of this occupies your mind to the point that your life revolves around trying to find a way to fulfill this fascination. This fascination then takes on a form and becomes a fact, and the next Friday you go down to the first church and you meet with others who are divorced. As the prodigal went through this fascination of what the far country could do for him, he went there looking for everything he could find to satisfy self. His thoughts became prodigal long before he ever did. And the thoughts of many of the people that I know who are divorced and remarried went prodigal before they ever did, and now they are in a situation that they can't seem to reverse. After their divorce, they were hurt and shamed and alone, and they dwelt on the good life that they could have, the companionship and company of a spouse and sexual partner, to the extent that their mind and thoughts went prodigal, and they left the Father. So what was the prodigal doing in those few days before he left? Perhaps he was dreaming of what he thought was the good life. He was having an illusion. He was walking into a deception that all of us who are divorced experience from time to time. And when this boy left his father's house, and as he drove into the far country, he probably called it independence. When he arrived at Motel 6 and he looked into the eyes of that prostitute, he probably called it pleasure. But when he lost all of his money, when he stood nose to nose with a hog fighting them for something to eat, he must have said, "I've been a fool." And countless number of times we, as divorced Christian men and women, we look into the far country and we think we found something better. We think we found the answer to our problems. We go there and we call it pleasure. We call it satisfaction. We call it fulfillment. But when the prodigal son walked out of Motel 6 with that prostitute in his arms and he realized what he had done, he must have said, "I've been a fool." And the Bible says that he then came to himself. After all the excitement in the motel room was over, after he had fulfilled his dream and fascination and illusion of life in the far country, the Bible says that he came to himself. To those of you who are single and are trying to remain single because God demands it, I want you to know that Satan will send you one illusion after another about life in the far country. He's telling you that you have been treated unjustly and that you deserve better. He's telling you how much better life is in the far country. But just about the time you reach for it, Satan pulls it away from you, and he continues to pull it away, and you continue to follow until he has lured you so deep into the far country that there is no return. Then you realize that what you've been chasing isn't real at all. That's what sin is. It's an illusion. That's what the far country is. It's an illusion. You are seeking happiness and fulfillment in your life as you dream of going into the far country, but you will not find it. But what you're going to find is slavery, shame, sorrow, regret, and the pig's pen. I'm telling you that what you're going to find is a broken heart and a shattered dream. If the prodigal son were a man who was divorced and who for some time had been striving to remain unmarried, and we could know his thoughts, then what was he thinking as he looked out into the far country? He was probably saying, "I don't care what the Bible says. I'm tired of living alone. I'm tired of going to church. I'm tired of not having a companion to share my life with. I'm fed up with it all. I'm lonely." Brother Marty can preach and encourage me to remain unmarried all he wants, but he doesn't know what I'm going through. If he knew what I was going through, then he wouldn't be so hard. And anyway, I agree with my friends. God doesn't expect me to live alone the rest of my life. I wasn't the one who broke the marriage vows. It was her. So he goes and takes a shower and puts on his best cologne and heads down to the first church in the far country where all the singles meet, and he is intent on finding a companion. Wait a minute. Maybe he isn't intent on finding a mate for life. Rather just someone to associate with. Yeah. That's why he's going to the Friday night meeting. So he meets the same girl every Friday night. Then they begin to meet every Tuesday and Friday. Then Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. One thing leads to another, and before long his thoughts go prodigal and he decides that this is the life. And this is the woman. And he leaves the father and marries her. But as time wears on, he comes to himself and realizes that he's been a fool. But it's too late. He's already in the pig's pen. He already has a wife and children who are depending on him. You see, sin is fun for a while. The Bible says that sin is fun for a season. Sin is fun for a while. Sin is fun until you get AIDS. and then you quit laughing. Sin is fun until you divorce and remarry to fulfill your desires and you have children and then you come to yourself. It's not funny then and we quit laughing. And the prodigal went to the far country and wasted all he had and hit rock bottom and ended up in the pig's pen. But when he hit the bottom, we find that he came to himself. While in the far country, he participated in things that he knew were wrong. But when he ran out of money, his brief insanity ended and he came to himself. That's what sin is. It's moral insanity. It will make you believe that in the far country, away from the Father and His authority, you can find fulfillment. You can find answers. You can find satisfaction. But you can't find any of these things. But what you will find, as the prodigal did, is the pig's pen. The Bible says that when this boy came to himself, he said, "I have sinned." Now, what is sin? The Bible says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Sin is walking away from God, just as this boy walked away from his father. The Bible says, "So when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." And this boy probably looked out into the far country and began to lust for the things which the far country offered. And when this lust conceived, it caused him to go into the far country and to do things he knew were wrong, and he sinned. As I sit at home many nights, the things that the far country offers often cross my mind. I think of the excitement that I hear my friends speak of. I think about all the things that I could be doing instead of sitting in my home. I fear that many people who are in the same situation as myself do too much of the exact same thing. They dwell on the entertainment and fulfillment that they see in the far country, away from the Father, and they begin to lust after this deception until finally that lust conceives. What happens then? Well, they go to the Friday Night Live singles gathering at the first church. They go to the local nightclub with all their friends. They call up a girl they know and they go to Motel 6. Thus we can see that they lust after something which looks better to the extent that finally that lust conceives and it brings forth sin. How many lives have been ruined? How many faithful members have we lost? How many divorced single men and women have gone into the far country, never to return, all because they dwelt on the life there and lusted after the things they seen there, and their lust finally conceived? I want everyone who is trying to remain unmarried to hear me. Sin does not begin with an act. It begins with a fault. Remarriage after divorce does not begin with the marriage ceremony. It begins when you start entertaining those thoughts by going to the Friday Night Live singles meeting and you start watching the Christian Dating Connection on Channel 21. Remarriage begins when you start looking for a way out. It begins when you start drowning yourself in self-pity. Remarriage begins when you start to question the Word of God and you begin to thank for God and to tell yourself that surely God does not expect me to live alone the rest of my life. Remarriage begins when you start to play the role of judge and jury. Remarriage begins when you begin to make excuses for your present situation to the extent that you think you have come up with an exception to what God actually requires of you. Remarriage begins when you start taking to heart the advice and comments of the unlearned and spiritually unconcerned. And when all these things finally conceive, they bring forth sin. And when you detect that sin growing in you, then get it out. You'll never make it. You'll die in the far country away from the Father where there is no hope. After my wife left me, I was not the same person that I had been for many years, and I am still not altogether. The hurt, the what ifs, the grief, the shame, the empty feeling, the feeling of hopelessness and the question, why me, controlled my every thought. I really believe that in a figurative sense, I was insane. My mode of thinking was completely contrary to what I knew was right. But after many months, maybe even a year, I came to myself. I asked myself the question, now that your wife has left you, what are you going to do? Now this seemed like a very simple question, but it was one that I had to answer. And I had to answer correctly, because my soul was on the line. The prodigal son was a boy who got his freedom, but he did not rise to a new level of excellence. Rather, he took his freedom and he went straight to the pig's pen. He left home a son and came home begging to be a slave. To those of you who are now free because your spouse has left you, what are you going to do? Many people have taken their freedom, which they have found, whether by choice or like myself, by consequence, and they have destroyed themselves. They've gone straight to the pig's pen. Maybe it's the pig's pen of drugs, alcoholism, or financial ruin. Maybe it's the pig's pen of divorce and remarriage. I want you to know that because your spouse has left you and you now are free, this freedom does not give you the right to do as you please. And I don't care how good of a spouse you may have been or for what reason they may have left. Freedom is not a license to do as you please. As has been said many times, freedom is the responsibility to do as you ought. The Bible teaches that a person who is not married, who is single, is in a perfect situation to serve his God to a degree that the married cannot obtain. But of what good is our being free from the burden and responsibility of a family and spouse if all we're going to do is sit around and think about how much better it would be if we had a husband or a wife or children? Of what good is being single if all we're going to do is sit around and drown ourselves in self-pity and think about how much fun we could have at the Friday Night Live singles meeting? Of what good is freedom if all we're going to do is lust after the life that we think we see in the far country? How many Christians have taken their newfound freedom and marched into the far country and found what they call fulfillment in remarriage? It's time for us to quit calling this madness progress. Because many times we, as victims of divorce, take our state of being and throw the Word of God out. And today, many churches condone sin. The church and many of us who are divorced have thrown the morality of the Word of God out, and we have lusted after the new morality, which allows remarriage. We have allowed it to come into our hearts and minds and the church. The sinful seed has begun to conceive. And now churches are full of divorced and remarried men and women. And to encourage others, some churches now offer Friday Night Live Singles Night at 7 p.m. and the Christian Dating Connection on Channel 21. As men and women who are victims of a divorce and the departure of a spouse, we need to quit jabbering about our sad state of being and quit lusting after the things we think we see in the far country. And we need to start talking about the responsibility that we now have, and that is to remain unmarried or be reconciled unto our spouse. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 11. In conclusion, let me say, be careful. Don't sit around and drown in your own self-pity or the pity that others give you. Don't sit around and think about what you could be doing away from the Father's will. An even more serious problem is the far country. We see it on the television. We see it in the newspapers. And we hear about it from family and friends. It's everywhere. We have to guard against the Friday Night Live singles meeting and the Christian Dating Connection, the nightclubs, alcohol, and many more things. Don't flirt with danger. Don't become involved in anything or with anybody that might cause you to become weak and to begin dreaming about life in the far country. Because when you begin lusting after the far country, and at the same time you are trying to do what is right with the Father, then it hurts. And the easiest way to relieve that hurt is usually by going ahead and doing what we have been guarding against, but lusting for. This whole experience has taught me a few things. One of these is this. With maturity comes the realization that right or wrong, emotions usually went out over intellect. In other words, if you feel strong about something at the moment, it becomes easy to rationalize away everything you've ever been taught. The many illegitimate children in the world are testimony against the I'll stop in time philosophy. That is why I caution you against the Friday Night Live singles meeting and things of that nature. After my wife left me, I thought life was over. But a brother told me it would get better with the passing of time. I didn't believe him at the time. But I must say to all victims of divorce, if you will ride the boat long enough and remain faithful, then the passing of time will make you stronger in many areas and erase much of the pain. But let me make one thing clear. My pain has decreased because I want it to decrease. The temptation to remarry has decreased because I don't dwell on it. I'm going to do what is right because I want to do what is right. And you've got to want the same, or you'll never make it. It's not a bed of roses, but we can do it if we want to. I have many weaknesses today and many faults, but I am determined to correct them and do what's right. But if you sit around and continually look into the far country and continually come up with excuses for going there, then you'll be there before you know it. If you begin to take to heart the advice of the godless and the self-pity they bury you in, then you'll be in the far country before you know it. If you begin to reason, as many of the unlearned and ignorant men of today reason, then you'll be there before you know it. And you can rest assured that one day you will come to yourself and realize that you've been a fool. But like so many I know, it may be too late. You may already have a wife. You may already have children. And these type of things make repentance and coming back to the Father less likely. Therefore, let me caution you by telling you to know your limits, because what tempts me may not bother you, and vice versa. Know what your limit is. Know what you can handle. Beware of the types of people, places, and situations that cause you to dream of the far country. If you associate with people who are constantly bombarding you with sympathy and pity, and they are constantly giving you advice which is less than holy and that will lead to the pig's pen, then stay away from them. They are not so concerned about right and wrong as you and me are. They make life in the far country look real, but it's not. It's an illusion. It's a fascination. It's a deception from hell itself. It's a fire. And if you play with this fire long enough, you'll get burnt. And the trials of a divorce and the departure of a spouse, and especially the life or lifestyle that follows, certainly you and I can say with confidence that during these trying times, emotions usually went out over intellect, or what we know is good and right. Stay focused on the straight and narrow, and don't let the emotions of the trying times influence your decision making in the wrong direction. If doing that which is right requires a little sacrifice, then may God help us. May God help you and me to endure. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:17, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." I hope that I have made you aware of some of the problems which today's divorced single Christian men and women are confronted with. And I hope that my comments will help us all to fulfill the will of God.